Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning.
I know I'm interrupting all of your World Cup conversations right now. I'm sorry. So it's a sad day. We're no longer in the tournament. So who are we rooting for? Argentina? All hail the King? United Kingdom? King Harry Kane? No? Okay. All right. Viva la France? Maybe? We got one. All right. Okay. Well, good morning and welcome to Rock Bible Church. Christ-centered, biblically based, compelling, casual community. And we are compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship. Being a community that serves the greater community. Amen?
Amen.
And we are continuing in our series in the book of Luke. We're chapter 13 today, so that's where we'll be. Greetings to those of you joining us online. And we're going to get started here in just a second. Just a reminder, the men's group is kind of on hiatus, but if you're on the group feed or want to be on the group feed, little group chat thing, we would love to incorporate you. So come see myself or Larry or Matt or Doug or one of the guys, and we'll me and Kitty get you on there too. They're still negotiating, so there you go. Other than that, I want to just say greetings from First Baptist Church of Ripon. And some of you remember Gino Cunningham, yes, one of our early pastors, and then we helped him get started out there and got to be out with them a couple weeks ago, and what just a great, fun opportunity, and just great to see our sister church, really, in a lot of ways. So greetings from them, and I sent greetings to them from you, and I made sure they knew it wasn't a competition. So let's pray, and we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you for this morning, what we've sung, reminded this morning the value of truth sung out loud, that it might sink in. Two things you said to us in one of the songs, that you're strong and that you love us. We know that you've said more than those two things, that we focus on them in that song at that moment, but we're grateful and have joy that you tell us so much more. May our time appreciate that you have all for us, all the information we need to set us free. And so may our time this morning in your word be to that end, in glory to you, in honor of your Son, and guided by your Spirit. In all God's people at Rock Bible Church said, amen. All right. Set free for what? And right above that, it says, God from Luke eyes to ours. This series on how Luke saw it. Kind of fun. No, Luke is the only gospel who got another book. He actually wrote Acts as well. He did the extended remix version. He had a lot of perspective and a lot of detail, and we love that because we want to explore the whole of God's truth, the depth, the detail, and we want to therefore get a clearer picture, and that's what we get from Luke. And one of the things is this idea of freedom, and Jesus says it several times, and he's going to say it in this section of chapter 13. But I want us to remember, set free is kind of like, well, I always thought of it like the last day of school, the end of the year. It's like you're out, you're like, yes, and it's like freedom, right? And that's just the teachers, right? But then you get like to the next day, and it's like, wait, not going to school. Where's all my friends? Now what? Wait, how do I see them? Like, what, I got to walk? I got to hoof it all the way over to find one of them? It's so much better when they're all gathered in one place. We have something to do. So set free is great, but set free and then what? Set free and what's the purpose? Where do we go from here? Step one, shackles off. Step two, hey, let's produce something. In fact, Jesus is going to tell us a little parable about production here in a minute. This is a different different passage in some ways. Your reading of Scripture, I hope, is extensive enough that you come across passages that it's like, wait, this is a little different. This one's different in that there's going to be some weird interjections of like, how's this all go together? And that's the fun of reading your Bible for yourself, is figuring out the themes and stuff. Like, how's this good? Doesn't look like it goes together, but somebody really smart put it together. So there must be together for a reason, right? Okay. So you ready for fun? Let's jump in. Luke chapter 13, verses 1. Here we go. And there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans. Where do they live? Okay, good. Whose blood Pilate, who's Pilate? It's not, he doesn't fly the plane. Pontius Pilate. He was a Roman governor. He's in politics. He's a leader, right? Had mingled with their sacrifice. The Galileans whose blood Pilate took and mingled with their sacrifices. Okay, we got a real problem here. Is Pilate supposed to be involved in sacrifices? No. Oh, this is a mess. What did they sacrifice? Two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear, something like that, right? Maybe a calf here and there. Maybe flour. Grain offering. Little things. Did we sacrifice people? No. And Pilate comes in, and it's pretty vague. I mean, you can look it up if you want. You're not going to get a whole lot of great information. But somehow he got Jewish blood into a sacrifice. Pick your worst movie. And it's worse than that. This is a real problem. Hey, Jesus, what do you think? Right? And he answered them. They're telling him this story. And here's Jesus. He says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners? Wait, what? Can we talk about Pilate? And what just happened? He skips over it? No. This I have a problem with. Because when I am wronged, everybody knows. Why? Well, because, Scott, you're difficult. I have a hard time letting things go. I have no less than three counselors that I talk about it with. When I get wronged, it's like I can't let it go. I hold on. I want revenge. Something needs to be done. This needs to be set straight. The coach needs to be fired. We cannot lose by three goals after we're in the knockout round. I mean, come on. We got to do something about this. And this idea of acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. I hate that. I have to accept that Pilate did this, that it's heinous, and we're just going to move on. What possible topic could be more important than this just dire violation? Because if Jesus moves on to another topic, it must be more important. Okay, have we set this up enough? Yes, I think we have. Okay, good. Let's move on. He answered them, do you think the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Wow, he doesn't make a statement. He asks a question. Why do you ask a question? Like, you run into Ming on the street and you ask Ming a question. Why would you ask Ming a question? Very simple, very simple. Just don't get too complicated with this. You want to know what he's thinking. What's his answer? You want to get something out of them. What has just become the topic? Do you think that the Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered because their blood, they got killed somehow and he's collected some of their blood, put in the sacrifice and total violation? And I mean, talk about unclean. Are the Galileans the topic?
No.
Are sinners the topic?
Yes.
No. I'm going to give you a hint. Two words. Do you? Who's the topic? We've asked a question. Ming's now the topic. See, I got you. I said, why do you ask Ming a question? He said, oh, what will Ming say? What will Ming think? No, because Ming's the topic now. Love that. He says, oh, let's talk about you. What do you think? Now, I love this because it's almost like Jesus giving us permission to think. Which, did anybody else grow up this way where your parents sometimes like, look, I don't want you to think, just do. I just told you to do it, don't even think about it. I don't have any questions, right? Anybody have a parent like that? I did. But it wasn't her. It was the other one. No, and there's times for that, for sure, Dad, so don't feel guilty. What do you think? Is there a difference between sinners? Like, where's your head at is the question. And Jesus asks a question and then gives no time for the answer. He says, nope, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you see the topic again a couple times in that sentence? All right, we got it confirmed. We got you four times. Do you, I tell you, unless you, you will. Now we know the topic. Why is this good? That they're now the topic. Why is it good for you? Oh, look, I just made you the topic. That's why it's good. We have a God that makes you the topic. We have a Jesus who says, hey, we can talk about the Galileans. We're going to skip over Pilate because acceptance is the answer to all our problems today. But I want to know where you are. That's the God I'm signing up for. Personal interaction, engagement, detailed, attention. Love that. He says, you guys should worry about you guys. Or, verse 4, those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Oh, what? Tower fell, killed 18 people? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? Ooh, first question was about Galileans. I asked you, where do they live? You said Galilee. Jewish? Probably not. Maybe. A little mix. Right? Roman territory. Yeah. Now we're definitely talking about Jews, right? Because we're in what second line of the back, last word? Jerusalem. Does it change with religion? Who's better, who's worse? What do you think? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Ooh. Be the topic. Be the topic of concern. That's a great reminder for me. This is your Sunday service extra. Be concerned with yourself more than whatever concerns you. I love that. I need to be concerned about my own condition before the Lord, like who's worse or more of an offender or who's a sinner, than things I observe. Stuff people do, say, post. And he told this parable. Here, interjecting. This is what I was saying earlier. This passage is a little different, right? Man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found Man, if they could just take the N, the first N off there. So much better. You can find at least one. Nope, none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? I love that phrase. Why are you taking up space? Right? It's like grumpy church people. We could use your seat for something else. He answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Here endeth the story. Now, remember, who's the topic? You, us, them, right? Okay. And then he tells a story about a fig tree and the vine dresser and where's there's fruit or not. What did he just make the people in this parable? What are they being compared to? You're a fig tree. Your new name is Figgy. And you either produce or you don't. And what's he say? It's been 3 years, no production. What's he saying about him? Hey, what have you been doing? You've been set free. What have you been set free for? Because you got your title and your status. Where are you going with it? Love that. If you make it to the World Cup, you got to play. You don't stand there and just let guys jump over you, head the ball in your goal. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be accepting all this over there, right? Now, he was teaching in one of... Oh, we moved on again? No commentary? Now, he's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He's teaching. He's in a synagogue. What's a synagogue? This, kind of, right? It's not the temple, but when you can't get to the temple, you go to the closest house of worship. That was their synagogues, right? And it's on the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath for? Day of rest. And apparently the day of worship, because they're in the synagogue, he's teaching. Rest and worship. Okay, good. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. Just a little while. She was bent over, could not fully straighten herself. Ooh. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. Ooh. I like that, Jesus. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Wow. Good? New. It's bad. It is a violation. It's like not playing defense when you're in the World Cup. Verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue, who in the synagogue? The ruler, right? By the way, last ruler, was he good in the story? He mixed the blood with the... this ruler, he's not going to be good either. Indignant. He was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the people... Now, if you are ever reading your Bible and you get to a section like this, you got to put a little oomph when you read the sentence. A little emotion. It makes reading your Bible more fun. If you do it out loud, even better. If you get good at it, I'll let you preach. Okay? There are 6 days in which you ought to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Man, doesn't that sound like a grumpy old elder of a church? He probably was. And the Lord answered him, whoops, you hippo. You hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his donkey or his ox from the manger and lead it away to water it? Aren't you ox watering donkey lovers? That's what he calls them. And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Ooh, great question. It's really a question. It sounds like a question. It's really a statement from Lord God Almighty. Let me explain it to you, because you are the topic and you are missing it. You're getting it wrong. As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Just real quick, 17. And as he said these things, all his adversaries. Could it be like enemies? Could have put anything there. Put adversaries. Anybody have a guess why? Drawing attention to something. Look at the top line, second word. It's a name. Kind of. We say it that way now. It's really Satan. If you read it in Hebrew, I think it's something more like Ha-Satan. The Ha-Satan adversary. Love this. Little double meaning going on here. Little cheeky. You know God's cheeky. Got a sense of humor. He's a little sarcastic. He says, yeah, you people, you ask these questions, do this stuff, and I'm going to put you to shame because I'm going to do some stuff, and you're going to be like, well, that's a miracle, and I don't like it, and I'm grumpy because it's Sabbath, and we had rules, and why aren't you even following them, blah, blah, blah. At the same time, he's saying, yeah, Satan, you had her for 18 years. She's no longer yours. In fact, she was always mine. I'm going to put you to shame because what you've done, I can undo it with a word. Your disabilities are freed. Love that. Saw that, reading it by myself, almost started crying. I held it together. I saved my tears for the U.S. national team. Let's look at this. We're set free. Why would Jesus set you free? Let's do the general answers, right? Let's bang through. Because he likes us. Right? Because he loves us. Because he has stuff for us to do. Right? He hates to see us suffer. Okay. As for this passage, though, what do we get from this passage with us as the topic or them as the topic? Why does he tell these specific stories and pose the questions about, hey, the Galileans, where there's a difference between them? I love that he does those things in this passage because it's the same thing that we deal with today. We are amazing at adversarying. We're professionals at being adverse to others. And we see it in culture. We see it in every way. If you don't root for my team, don't come to my house. If you don't vote the way I do, blah, blah, blah. If you have to know the way I vote, if you use these words but not those words, our ability to divide and try and conquer, what goes back to when I'm wronged, I gotta do something about it rather than just accept what's going on. I love that Jesus says, no, there's something more important. There's a lot more important that's going on. Jesus set you free. Why? He set you free calling you. I always remember when so it's a weird thing to stand right here because I see all of you. I see a lot of stuff you don't think I see. Without getting any weirder about it, what I see, number one, at some point, if you're sitting in here, you and God did business. He reached out. He grabbed you somehow. He drug you in. He coaxed you in. He blessed you in, whatever, to where all of a sudden you're like, more God. We want to celebrate the idea that God sets us free to call us in. What's he call us to? He calls you to see yourself. Look at the verse up there at top of your outline. Verse 12. What's it say? And Jesus saw her. Love that. I put that up there because we got, how's this thing start? She's in the synagogue. He's teaching and he sees her. Of all the people, he's like, hey, I see you. We have a God who's paying attention. Amen. He's calling you to see yourself as he sees you. That's a great thing. When you got a problem and you need it fixed and it's a disability and you're stuck. It's also a great thing when you're wrong, bitter, evil inside, and you need a twist out. You got to twist out of whatever you're twisted up on. And he says, look, you guys are asking the wrong questions. You're stuck on the wrong things. I need you to, you need to change. Don't be a stinking fig tree, a fruitless fig. Because you have to, what? He says it twice. Verse 2 and verse 4. You have to, starts with R. You have to repent. There's a lot of priority put on repentance in the church. You must repent and change. Great. What does that mean? How do I do that? I see myself the way God sees me. I'm not him. He knows it. I'm not perfect. He knows it. I need help. He knows it. He sees it. And yet we run around like, oh, I can fix it. If I just get my way, if my kids would just listen to me, my boss would do what I think, right? And we chase all this stuff. And Jesus says, no, stop trying to fix everything. In fact, stop thinking that you were wronged. You remember I started earlier, it was like, when I'm wrong, do I need to do something? Am I functioning from a proper assumption that I was somehow wronged? See, I've done the opposite of Jesus. I mean, I've done the same of Jesus and then the opposite of Jesus at the same time. I've made myself the topic, but not in a good way. Jesus makes us the topic. He says, hey, you are the topic, and we're going to fix you. We're going to work on you. We're going to bless you. We're going to mercy you. We're going to guide you, fix, deliver. We like those verbs? Yes. And we need a God who's paying attention, sees all the detail, and says, hey, come here. Right? Calling you. He sees her. That's one thing. If I have a God who's paying attention, that's great. But if all I ever get is in trouble or he sends me gifts, well, it's like long-distance dating. What's the point of that? What's the point of long-distance dating? This is a real question. This is the interactive portion of the morning. What's the point of long-distance dating? They're over there, and I'm over here, and I really like them over there. What's the point of long-distance dating? To get together! We figured it out, and there is the basis of your theology. Stop long-distance dating God. He says, hey, come here. I love that. In order to do that, you got to repent. Your ways, not my ways. Katie, that slide I was asking you about, is there a chance we can do that one? Make me an offering. What's it? Yeah, make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Who? Who's the topic here? No. That's us singing you to him. Whose vessel? Yes, as your. You're talking to singing to him. Your. Here's the thing. You follow Jesus' example. He makes you the topic. Let's work on you so that you'll turn around and make him the topic. Oh, it's brilliant. And my Christianity starts to make sense. How do I see him, see me, and see him back that way and find my place. Let's do you, God. Make me hate that word. Whatever. Blank check, Jesus. Do whatever you want with me. No way. No. I have a very short, very specific list, Jesus. This is what I offer you. I was having a conversation with somebody. It was a light, fun conversation. We were talking about our journey with the Lord, and I was laughing with him. It was like, yeah, I never thought I was going to be a Christian. Mom drugged me to church from this age, right? And I just, this is what we do on Sunday. I'm not doing that. What happened? I became a Christian. And that's okay. I could stop there. There's no way I'm going to become a pastor. I've met some of them. Too many of them. How'd that go? I'm losing that. I lost that battle, right? I said, that's okay. That's okay. I'm a Christian. I'll be a pastor. I'll just find a church to work at because I am never, ever starting a church. How'd that go? Walking by that stupid Nehemiah project poster every single day. I went to seminary class. You go up the stairs and down the stairs. Classes upstairs, downstairs, everything else. So in between breaks and before class and after class, you're walking up and down that stairs, walking by that stupid poster, the Nehemiah Project. Church planting in the 20th century or whatever. I used to look at that. It was a cheesy picture. I was like, oh, what a joke. Only crazy people do that. Who knew? I'm crazy. When I stop having an agenda with God, I have the ability to participate in his agenda. All the jokes about me being a Christian or a pastor or planning a church, I wouldn't change it for anything. I'm having way more fun than I ever thought I could. Some of you can tell. This is what he set me free for. So I can repent and jump on his bandwagon. I'm gonna take my U.S. jersey off and I'm going to put on a God jersey. Which I think means he wants me to root for Argentina. But I don't know that. All right. Number two, here we go. Jesus saw her. He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disabilities." Don't you love that? By the way, on the last one, last set of fill-ins, underneath there's some numbers down there, right? Two of these numbers, not like the others. Two. I can't remember the Sesame Street song very well. So, why were those highlighted in red and bolded? Because we're talked about repentance. By the way, both of those verses are identical wording. He says the exact same thing twice. Boom, word for word. Number two, we're into this section now. What's our redded, bolded number? 12. Does anybody know what verse that is? It's that one right there. It's on the screen already. We chopped off the 12 just to make it more tough for you. He says you're freed from your disabilities. Scott, you threw a G in there, a G word. You can't do that. You're adding to scripture. Well, we're adding something that's implied throughout the rest of the passage. I asked you who's the topic. We minced our way through it and figured out that they were the topic or you are the topic. Right? And then this lady comes in and he sees her, calls her over, and then said, you're freed. There's another verse where it says, and he laid his hand on her and immediately she was made straight. Love that. That was a rough disability for her. Right? And let's think about this for a second. You're bent over all the time. You can never straighten. And 18 years, you're doing this. And where did she show up on the Sabbath? She got herself to the synagogue in her compromised condition. Is this a woman of faith? Yes. She's there to worship and to rest. She knows who Jesus is. Does she approach him? You know, almost all the other passages where somebody's got a problem, they come, oh, Jesus, hey, here, touch me. I'm going to just touch you, whatever. Hey, can you help me? I want something from you. What's this lady do? She goes to the synagogue and she worships. In her condition, acceptance has become the answer to all her disabilities in those days. Oh, I want to be as mature as her. I think her faith was strong enough. That's not a problem. Her biggest problem was her actual physical disability, and yet she was working through it. And Jesus sees her and goes, Jesus and I loosely talked about this. I think he saw her and thought, that's a woman of faith. If anybody deserves to have her disability taken care of, it's her. Hey, come here. Wanda, you want to be better? You want to be better? Sorry. Boom. Says the word. Done. Put the sand on her. Love that. And heals her of her greatest disability. That's a hard one as a pastor. That's a pretty confident move to put greatest disability in that fill-in and make that statement at a church in front of people of faith. Jesus set you free from your greatest disabilities. Well, I got some physical disabilities. He has yet to set me free from. Not a fair deal. Yes, Scott, because your physical disabilities are not your greatest disabilities, Scott. You have other ones, most of them in here and in here, and we got to work on those. I'm going to set you free from those. Come here. Walk with me. Let's work on those things. Now, where did I make that up from? The passage. Because it's what he's done with the people who came and say, hey, the Galileans, you think that's a blood mix on the thing? He says, oh, no, let's talk about you. Your greatest problem is not Pilate. We're not even going to talk about him. Your greatest problem is not the ruler of the synagogue. And by the way, ruler of the synagogue, your greatest problem is not that somebody came in and did something on the Sabbath under your watch. Your greatest problem is you don't understand that Sabbath is for rest and worship. And what a greater opportunity for this woman to finally get rest from her disability. 18 years, and she shows up on the Sabbath. I will argue you can't come to the synagogue on any other day. That's the day to come and get rest from your disability. And then she's already there to worship. But now she's got another reason to worship. How cool. And how's the passage end? And everybody rejoiced in all the miraculous things that they'd seen. Right? Not definite wording right there, but... what's your greatest disability? Here's my argument. I think it's mostly here. It's in your thinking and your feeling, what you care about, your passions, what you chase. Set yourself right with the Lord. Your greatest disability is your distance from the Lord. Be the lady. Show up at church no matter what. Find ways to worship no matter what. Rest in him. No matter what. She's the one that could probably sing that song. Make me your vessel. Make me whatever you want me to be. Great song selection, by the way, Howard. We did not coordinate that. All right, last one. Set free for what? Jesus sets you free with joy. They rejoice. You know, joy is like the goal in almost all your pursuits. Why do you go to a good meal? Why do you go to a graduation ceremony? Why do you try to get a job that makes more money? Because you think there's a joy payout in whatever you... Why do you have kids? Because they're joyous. They are. I make a lot of jokes about my family. I really do. They all know their jokes. And their confidence is that I really enjoy them. Most of the things that we do for a joy payout. And you know that's by design. You're created in the image of God. He designed you to be a joy seeker. Let's just make sure we're not getting it confused and becoming ox-watering donkey lovers. Where we're seeking our joy in the wrong places and making up rules. Where does joy come from then? Well, by acceptance, Scott, you just said it earlier. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems. Okay, all right. What's the greatest thing you can accept? Jesus. All right, I love it when that works. So we do this thing, and we've always done this. In fact, I love the student ministry. They like to draw attention to this. And you guys never see this because you're out there and I'm up here. They are usually up there. And when they're in the service and they're filling the balcony like that, we get to the end of the service and the last song. And you come up and I say, and then what do I say? Very end. Go with him. Sometimes I want to say, hey, just go. No. Why the with him? Because that's where your greatest experiences are. That's where your freedom from disabilities are. That's where your joy comes from. He set you free so you could experience joy with him. Now, I just wrote it a little differently. He set you free with joy through experiences with him. There's a better way to say that. I want to take the Seth off. If you take the Seth off, not Seth, Seth off, and added something else that would actually make it better, well, you'd have to lose the with as well. Anybody follow me? What is it, Mark? Ing. Take the Seth off and put ing, experiencing. Take the with out. Him. You absolutely want to experience things with him. Even better is when you experience him himself. When you talk to him, when you read his love letters, when you sing back to him, when you listen to intelligent people that record something about him where you learn something, where you go serve the way he has asked you to, where you make sacrifices because he set that example, you start to experience God. And then you're right where you're supposed to be. You know what happens when you're right where you're supposed to be and you're experiencing him and it's really good? You know what happens? What happened to the lady? She got better and she got more. That's what I want. I want better and more. I'm selfish. Do you know you're selfish? Did you know that? You're selfish? Never seen such a large group of selfish people. They're the most selfish people I know. Where'd you get your selfish from? Red Church, ask the question. Mom got it right already. So did Robin. Where do you get your selfish from? Who designed you? Who made you, created you? Did he make you flawed with the selfish thing that's bad? Did he put evil in you? Then selfish is good? I don't know, Scott. We're so far from Jesus as he is right now. I don't even know where to go with this. Selfish is good when it's used the way God asks you to use it, because the greatest, most selfish thing you could do is get the best God ever and have a great relationship. How selfish of you to want that. Have the most fun, the most blessing, pure joy, maybe help others find it too. That's where we're supposed to be. And you're going to have some rulers and some pilots in your life who will do stuff where you shake your fist, something must be done. And in that moment, I want you to remember, you're right. Something must be done. With who? With him. With you. That's how we enjoy it and make progress. Amen? Anybody yet to make that decision? If you've yet to figure out how this is all working and you're starting to realize, man, I want to be on this team because they're going to make it to the finals and win. That's a decision you get to make. God offers to everyone, right? Not slow about keeping his promises, but he's patient, not wishing that any should perish. Here it says, you must repent or you will perish. The repent is, I want to turn to God. And if that's you and you need to make that decision, we want to help you. It's why we exist. It's why God maybe become a Christian, a pastor, and plant a church to help you. Let us know. Come see me after. Talk to someone else. Just don't email me. It needs to be personal. Amen? Lord, thank you for the realities of how you work, what you care about, who you are. May we always be reminded that in your word, the first thing we do is identify you in it, what you're like, what's your character. What you say is important. Your truth. May we function from that with you. We thank you and are blessed by the example of your Son. And we thank you and are blessed by the guidance of your Spirit for those who have accepted your Son as Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, we pray for anybody who's making that decision. Give them the confidence to make it known. Reach out. And then, Lord, we ask you to bless the offering we're about to receive. Help us use it to do more with you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Remember the first four sermons of this series, Luke chapter 1 and following? No? I told you there'd be a test. First one, finding impossible favor. Second one, finding blessing. Third one, finding Jesus. Fourth one, preparing his way. That's why we're here. Chapter 13, still talking about it. May you be free with him. Amen? Amen. Everybody together? Go with him. Yeah.